Professor Strauss would say is so right, but why does he resist giving the people that he addresses from the housetops or along State Street a reason for uniting? And I wonder, though, whether he's all that interested in them uniting. I think that the, or rather uniting enough of them, I think that the view that the Atlantic peoples are about as far as you can get in terms of a community of ideas is parochial. And as a matter of fact, I'm astonished and hurt that Latin America should be thought of as a foreign barbarism, which has got to either resist or go along with the efforts of the West to make sense. Latin America, South America is the West. Hungary is the West. Russia is the West. I certainly was not speaking in metaphors when I talked about Western civilization. I didn't even mean to be talking in analogies. In fact, this was precisely the point I meant to make, that it is time that the United States stop trying to rouse the sentiments in the hearts of people that will be necessary to launch the sort of resistance we're talking about by analogizing itself to some set of values and truths and so on. Rather, it is the reality of Western civilization and our participation in it that we've got to become conscious of, self-conscious of. And it is only by that kind of participation in a civilizational enterprise that we make any sense out of our being. And I do think that Professor Strauss-Huppé is pretending a little more innocence than he has in not being able to detect an historical continuity which we can recognize as Western civilization. You can, after all, spot civilizations around the world. People who have written books about this kind of thing aren't entirely making up. There are such things as civilizations, and there is the Western civilization. It is not simply an effusion from Greece and Rome. It has only very little to do with Greece and Rome, as a matter of fact. It is an identifiable continuity, dating, I think, in its major major throbs from the birth of Christ. I should like to ask Dr. Pisoni a question on the one point that he made that disturbed me. He said, and then didn't go on, I think, much to develop the point, that the immorality that disturbed him, above all, was the immorality of a policy that fails to prevent war. I want him to expand a bit on that after my short comment, which is that I think to insist on this kind of thing plays precisely into the hands of the enemy, because the answer is simplistic, isn't it? If great insistence and great attention is focused on this objective of preventing war, there's always an easy way to prevent war. And that's what we're about in the United States today, preventing war. And it's partly an appeal that can be made to pacifist groups, but it's also the sort of shenanigans that a Mr. McNamara can pull off. Under the pretense of arming the nation, he can disarm the nation if the focus of the country is on preventing war. And I would suspect that we have to be aware of the human inclination to entertain only one or two or maybe three competing goals at the same time. We're not that broad. We're not that rich in our capacities. I suspect that we can't at one at the same time insist on peace and the prevention of war as our highest or one of our highest ideals, and on the other hand, make war.